Amen. How's everyone doing this morning? Blessed? Amen. I ask that you, as we prepare our hearts and minds, I ask that you would please keep me in prayer. It would be my birthday today and I can't talk. Amen. But God is still good. Anyhow, amen. But I'm grateful to see another day, but another year. I'm 24 years old. Amen. 24 years old. Amen. And you just got to switch that around. And I am 42 years old today. Amen. Really? I'm 42. Yeah, 42, 50. Oh, the devil is a liar. I rebuke that spirit in the name. I rebuke that spirit. And I'm all like, no. I rebuke that spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus. But isn't it great that we can have a good time in the Lord? Amen. We can have fun in the Lord. Being a Christian is hard. It's challenging, but it has some rewards. You can have fun and joy in the Lord. Amen. And I ask that you would meet me in the book of Psalms, chapter 40. And we're going to read three verses, verses 1 through 3. I'm sorry, Jonas, I didn't send you my stuff. My bad. My bad. New Living Translation. Psalm chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. When you get there, say amen. If you need more time, say, wait a minute. All right. I pray. Can y'all can hear me? Amen. All right. I'm praying that God gives me what I need to get through. Amen. Psalm chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and adhering of his word. If I could tag this title, this text, it would be called An Overcomer's Testimony. An Overcomer's Testimony. Everyone loves a story about the underdog. We often are drawn to the person who was counted out by so many, but was able to overcome the obstacles that they were presented with. And if you're in here today under the sound of my voice, you are an overcomer. And every overcomer should have a testimony. And a testimony is an open declaration or profession of how God brought you through the adversity that you faced. Somebody in here has faced some adverse circumstances, but it was by God's grace that he brought you through. And you are still standing because you are indeed an overcomer. And there are times in our lives, if we're going to be honest and real today, where we will find ourselves in a pit. And when I'm referring to a pit, I'm not talking about a literal pit in a literal sense, but metaphorically, a place where you are emotionally, mentally, and physically stuck, where there seemingly seems no way out. Have you ever been in a place, an emotional, mental, maybe physical pit where you felt that there was no way out but God. And these pits appear on our pathway through our journey in life. They often appear when we are headed somewhere. And it doesn't matter if you are a preacher, if you are a parishioner, if you are a musician, if you are on the sound, it doesn't matter. You will find yourself in a pit. And it's in the pit we discover. It's where we discover who we really are. We learn a lot about ourselves in the pit. These pits don't build character. They reveal it. Oftentimes, we can say what we will do, but when the storm comes, our response and reaction will show, is our walk and talk matching, or is there some type of discrepancy? In the pit, we are forced to confront who we really are. And it's a place in which our faith or lack of faith is put on trial. You do know that our faith is going to be put on trial, don't you? We come every Sunday, we proclaim and say we love Jesus Christ. Don't second guess. Yes, believe that there is some opposition, some opposition, adversity is going to come your way. Your faith will be put on trial. And these pits, they reveal our strengths, how strong we are, but they also reveal our weaknesses. And I'm not just talking about physical weaknesses, but it also weaknesses as it pertains to our thinking and our emotional stability. Pits expose or reveal our viewpoint or outlook on God. You see, we can say that we will bless the Lord at all times, but when you're put in a pit, are you still giving God glory? Or are you quiet through the situation? Can you still wave your hands with your hands lifted up and your mouth filled with praise when you're in unfavorable circumstances? We can all agree that life sometimes sucker punches you. I don't know about you. Has anybody ever been sucker punched when you've been hit when you weren't expecting it? I mean, at least I can, if you were coming my way, I can prepare myself. I can block. I can get ready. But being sucker punched is when you're caught off guard. You could be minding your business one day and all of a sudden you get a call about some bad news. I'm on the retreat getting ready to go to a session and I get news that my grandma passed. Am I still going to give God praise or am I going to fall and crumble? You could be in a marriage and all of a sudden your spouse asked you for a divorce. That's the sucker punch. You could be home enjoying spending time with your family and you get a call that your loved one is in jail. That's a sucker punch. Or in a car accident. Somebody could be getting on social media and find out that the friend that you thought you had unfriended you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And I'm going to be honest, I could care less. But the reason why I say that is because so many people look for the likes. They look for the, do they like what I say? Do they approve of what I say? And then if you don't like it, then they unfriend you. You wasn't a friend in the first place. Amen. But my life doesn't revolve around foolishness. Amen. But in this context, Psalm 40, which was written by David, a man after God's own heart. David wrote this psalm from a perspective of a person who had been through some things. David was exposed to some painful and agonizing pits. And when he is referring to a pit, once again, he's not talking about a literal pit, but he's talking about life circumstances, difficulties, and distress. David was going through. It was so bad that he didn't just call it a pit. He didn't say a pit, but in some commentators says horrible pit. I think New Living says pit of despair. Some others say slimy pit. He didn't just say I was in a pit, but he put an adjective around it. I was in a horrible pit. I was in a bad place. And the word horrible means crashing, roaring, rushing. It is translated as the noise of waves. It was so much noise and things going around that he couldn't even get his thoughts together. Have you ever been in a situation where everything is going around you and you can't even think clearly at that point? Amen. There was so much going on that he couldn't even put together his thoughts. And there's been theological debate that what David's pit was. Some say that he was on the run from his son Absalom. Some others say he might have been on the run from King Saul, but whatever it was, David was going through. And it was an experience that David never forgot. May I suggest that when God brings you through, don't forget what he brought you through. When he's delivered you, when he's brought you out, don't have amnesia. You got to remember what God has brought you through. This pit is an idea of being trapped in a place of torment while your enemies are constantly crying out against you. You ever been in a place where it seemed like, God, where are you? And it seems like my enemies seem to get, the more blood that they see, the more weakness that they see, they seem to be coming at me more harder and harder. You see, David is speaking from a person who has been wounded by the problems and burdens of his life. And I want to encourage somebody and let you know that in spite of the pit situations that you're in, you are indeed an overcomer. And as you look back over your life and you think things over, you can truly say that you've been blessed and that you indeed have a testimony. You have to remind yourself that this isn't the first time that I've been in a pit. See, oftentimes we do forget and we start complaining and then don't understand. No, remember before a year ago or 6 months ago, you had that same distress, you had that same anxiety, and God brought you through that. Don't think that God is not going to bring you through this situation as well. But my question that I pose is, what is your pit today? Everybody has a low point in which you must face. In a pit in which the only way out is the very opening in which you fell in. You cannot get out on your own strength. You cannot get out. You have to wait on God to get you out. That's tough. That's a tough place to be, where the entrance that you fell in is the only way that you can get out. And you can't get out on your own. And you gotta wait on God. And then a lot of times when we're going through, we say, all right, Lord, what we doing? Where you at? But you got to wait. And we got to wait patiently. Danger number one of being in the pit is, if we're not careful, we can be in the pit for so long that we start to think that things are normal. When you're in an unhealthy environment, you start to adjust to the very unhealthy and toxic environment that you're in. Amen, somebody. And when you're in a relationship that is constantly arguing over and over again, you start to think that it's normal to be arguing all the time. You start to start making it normal to I gotta check your phone, I gotta climb, I gotta hide and do all this stuff. No, it is chaotic. Amen, somebody. You shouldn't be used to these type of things. Another danger about being in the pit is that you start thinking and adapting and thinking a pit mindset. And we have in psychology called cognitive distortions that we must avoid. That means there are internal mental filters or biases that increase our misery, fuel our anxiety, and they make us feel bad about ourselves. When we're going through, it's hard sometimes to not start thinking negative. You ever heard of the saying, hurt people hurt people? It's because that person is in a pit of pain, and then their perspective is everybody else out there. I'm gonna hurt everyone else. We have to make sure that we avoid these cognitive distortions. Some examples are black and white thinking, meaning that you'll say, I never have anything interesting to say. It's, you know, I don't have anything going good for me. You know, another distortion is jumping to conclusions. You get a call from your doctor and automatically you say, he's going to tell me that I got cancer. I already know what it is. That's a distortion that we must avoid. We got to also avoid the shoulds and the musts that, you know, I should be doing this. I could be doing this. I should be. We got to avoid these distortions. We also got to avoid magnifying and minimizing. That means blowing up things that should be minimized and minimizing things that we should be taking more care of. Amen, somebody. But these are traps that we must avoid while we're in the pit. So my question is, how do you, if you're in the pit, how do you avoid this type of thinking? You must, as the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It, no matter where you are physically, you got to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. You see, we got to learn how to be thermostats and not thermometers. You see, a thermometer registers the room, but a thermostat changes the environment to adapt to where I am. So often we go in places and it's cold and we stay cold, or it's negative and we stay negative. No, you got to change your surroundings. So when you find yourself in a pit, you got to turn up the heat. You got to increase your praise. You can't just fall into the negative thinking. You got to make some changes. You got to make some adjustments. But David tells us that when we find ourselves in a pit, we have to be patient. And that's hard to do because it's instinctive for us that when we're going through to complain, maybe not for you, is I get upset when I'm going through. I get angry. I get frustrated. And asking once again, where in the world are you, God? One of the things that I have to train my thinking is, you know, God is all powerful. We know this. There's nothing too hard for him. Have you ever wondered why God didn't take you out of the situation? It's like, God, I know you can relieve this pressure right now, but why aren't you hearing my cry? Have you ever been there in a place where said, Lord, I don't know how much more I can take, and I know you have the capability to take me out, but why do you keep leaving me right here? Let me preach to the clock, because somebody ain't being real today. You've been in a circumstance, and you said, Lord, why am I in here? How long can I take? I can't take no more. And I know, God, that you can just speak it. You can just think it and I'm out of my problem. Why do I have to stay in this pit? Could it be that God wants to teach us something? Could it be that we have to learn how to handle our pit situations? Could it be that the very patience that you refuse to do is why you're in this pit for so long? I've been guilty of, you ever been in a supermarket and the line is taking too long and you leave and go to another line, and then that line is slow and the line you was just in seems to go through? And what it was I refused to be, I didn't want to be patient. I wanted to do it my way. This is taking too long. Let me go to the self-checkout. Let me do this on my own. And then find myself, it's more crowded over here. I should have stayed where I was. Some of us are in pit situations and are trying to get out and go somewhere else. But you know what? God is going to just have you fall into another pit to teach you something. You got to be patient. Patience, I think, is one of the biggest challenges I know I face personally. But David overcame his pit by waiting once again patiently for the Lord. And that expression, I waited patiently, it's the word quaver, Q-A-V-A-H. And it means in waiting, I waited, which doubling of the word notes that he waited diligently, earnestly, perseveringly until God pleased himself to get him out. The picture here is a person that is binding things together, perhaps twisting. It's almost like for women, I know when you get your hair braided, you know, you get your, you know, not list or whatever. I try to listen to what my daughters and wife are talking about, not list braids and all the other stuff. But it takes some time, right? I remember back in the day, it used to be micros. You'd be the 12, however long. It used to be a long time to take your hair braid, get your hair braided. But while you're getting your hair braided, usually you're doing something at the same time. You're on your phone. You're doing something to occupy your time. Same thing goes with here. While we're waiting on God to get us out of our pit, we need to be doing something at the same time. So we don't just sit there and just say, God, you're going to deliver me. You know, I'll wait. No, you got to be doing something at the same time. You got to be doing something at the same time. That means when you're going through, that doesn't mean that you pull away from church. No, you got to keep doing something at the same time. You got to keep coming to Bible study. Let me pause right there on Bible study. When you could come in, people were like, you know, I can't make it. There's so much I got to do. God sent COVID out. You got Zoom. Now, yes, we do have more people on Zoom than we do in person. But we still should have way more people on Bible study. All you got to do is go on Zoom from your house. That's all you got to do. And grow and learn. You got to do something at the same time. You can't wait on God and then expect, oh, you know, it's going to happen. You got to do something. You got to still give even when you don't see it. You got to still be faithful. You got to do something at the same time. David was waiting and not, he was going to keep waiting until he heard an answer from God. So how was David able to wait patiently? It was because he was confident in the Lord. He was confident in God's character. He remembered what God had done in the past. You know, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And though the scene changes, guess who stays the same? His God. Even though you may be going through different scenes and stages in your life, the one constant that you can be honest about is that God has been there every step of the way. He was confident in God's character. Not only that, he was confident in God's call. He knew who called him. And when you know who calls you, who called you, you're not going to let anybody get you out of position. Because there's a lot of people that purposely are demonically energized to get you out of position. So now they can either try to get your spot, or now you're going to be, you got to get chastised because you are now disobedient. You got to be mindful. If God called you to wherever you are, don't let nobody knock you out and move you out of position. And it makes me wonder, if you can just roll like that, did God really call you, or did you go on your own? It's tight. But we need this. Not only was he confident in God's character, he was confident in God's call. Thirdly, he was confident in God's command. David knew that if God said it, he had to listen. He had to be obedient. David knew what it meant when God said, be still and know that I am God. Some of us struggle with being still. And oftentimes try to go before God as if God is taking too long. And we try to handle the situation. But guess what? We end up making it worse. You ever been cleaning or doing something and your children come and say, oh, I want to help. Your grandkids, somebody, I want to help. And then they start getting in the way and you start getting tied up even more. And you say, you know what? Go over there because you're making it worse. That's the same thing that we do with God. God is working, has worked things out, and we try to interfere. And God says, go sit down over here. You're making things worse. We got to get out of the way. We can't try to get in the way of what God has already commanded. So David lets us know that when we wait patiently on the Lord in our pits, here's four things that will happen. Number one, the Lord will respond. Verse 1 says, and he turned or inclined unto me. That is, God ultimately heard and answered me. He turned himself favorably towards me because I kept praying, because I kept praising, because I kept being faithful. God turned to me. And that word inclined, Pastor said it last week, it means to stretch out, to extend. It means to bend. And it's a continual action. The more you pray, the more God keeps bending and leaning in your direction. And God leans so far to you that he can put his ear up to your mouth. You ever been in a situation where you can't even get the words out? But guess what? God is right there to hear everything. I'm so glad that God responds. He leaned in your direction. Many things that I hate to be ignored. If I'm trying to talk to somebody and they turn to act like they don't hear, you know what I mean? But when you ask God and you pray, guess what? God will respond. He will turn favorably in your direction. I don't know about you, but I need God's favor. I need him to turn favorably in my direction. And that's good news to know that the God who sits on high and looks low is never too busy not to hear our humble cry. That should encourage someone to know that in spite of the tears and no matter how long you have been in your situation, that God is leaning in your direction. So just remain faithful. Just remain fruitful. Just continue to keep praying. Just continue to keep fasting. Just continue to keep tithing. God is going to respond to your cry. Not only will God respond, secondly, God will also rescue. Verse 2, I'm so glad that God just doesn't hear us, but he also rescues us. And the verb here means brought me up. In Hebrew, it means to set up, to establish, to fix. It's in a causative active, meaning that there's a cause behind God rescuing us. He didn't just rescue us just to say, oh, that's it. There's a reason and a purpose why he rescues us. And it's a time since here, meaning it's an imperfect verb suggesting that he continues to keep doing it over and over again. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God didn't rescue me one time and that was it. If that was the case, we might as well all close shop. But God rescued us over and over again. And I don't know about you, but I find myself in problems over and over again. But I'm so glad and grateful that God rescues us. Not only will God respond, not only will God rescue, excuse me, he will restore. Not only is he a responder, he's a first responder. He's a rescuer, but he's also a restorer. And this means to place our feet on the rock. And we know that the rock I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. Once again, there's a cause behind this. God isn't just responding. He isn't just restoring just because. There's a reason behind it. And the rock, it speaks of a firm foundation. When you stand on God's word and when God places you, when he responds, when he rescues, when he then restores, he then sets you on a solid foundation himself. And you ain't got to worry about nobody knocking you off your square because you're standing on the promises of God. Not only did God respond, not only does he rescue, not only does he restore. Let me go back with this restoration as well. Restoring means making something old into new. To clean us, he has to change us. He has to make some things new in us. And when he starts that change and that transition, then it moves to point number 4. He will be revered. not only does God respond, not only will he rescue us, not only will he restore us, but he ought to be, he must be revered. We revered is to speak highly of. We got to give God praise. So often people try to take God's glory. They say it was them that got themselves out. It was them that were, and really you sound like a foolish person. And the word, it says, he has placed, means he gives us, means the Lord is still giving us a new song. He didn't just give us a song, but he gave us a new song. And that word new can be interpreted also a fresh song. See, it's good to have some songs in your Rolodex, you know what I mean? When you're going through, when the enemy comes against you, you can speak, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's good to have those verses on deck, but sometimes God will give you a new fresh song. He'll give you a song that will make you better. And this song comes from a verb that means to travel. And it presents the idea of someone that is so joyful that they're telling everybody, talking about God everywhere they go. They're not just keeping how good God is in church. They're not just keeping it in their home. But when they go to the store, when they go to work, they're telling everybody the goodness of the Lord. Because he gave them a new, fresh song. I don't know about you, but I hate some stale food. I hate some old food. I need some fresh. I don't need no canned or bottled up food. I need something fresh. And our song and our praise got to be fresh. Sometimes we got to look at God differently. We get comfortable and praise God and say the same things over and over again. I need a fresh song. I need a fresh anointing. It's nothing like fresh. It's nothing like when it tastes better when it's fresh. Amen, somebody. It smells better when it's fresh. It looks better when it's fresh. Amen, somebody. And that's what we got to do. We got to have a new, fresh song. We can't just keep singing the same old stuff, even though it works. But we got to tell God, to tell others that, you know what, God delivered me before. He brought me through COVID. He brought me even through that. God has done a new thing. And it also means to be clear about it. I'm letting you know God and God alone is the one who brought me through. It wasn't nobody else but the Lord. And I don't know about you, David was convinced that living a sincere testimony of a godly man or woman was a powerful soul-winning tool. It's power in your testimony. So often you don't want to tell people what you've been through. That's what's going to help others see Jesus. To know that I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a whoremonger. I used to be. But God made me fresh on the inside. And now I'm singing it on the outside. So you got to tell your testimony wherever you go. When you're in the store, when you're in the hairdresser, when you're at work, wherever you are, you got to tell somebody about a God that can save anybody. You got to just tell him and let him know. You got to be like the song, "This Little Light of Mine." Remember the song, "I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Every where I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Our God is awesome. I didn't know how I was gonna be able to make it through, but God is awesome. Amen. Amen. You don't miss it until you lose it. Amen. I thank y'all for being patient with me while we were in this pit of my voice. Amen. No, on a serious note, as we rest on our feet, we know
that everybody doesn't know the God of heaven that we're talking about. And his name is Jesus. There's nobody like our God. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. And we will bless him at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. But it's personal. Being a Christian is not a religion. It's not a philosophy. It's not therapy. It's a relationship. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only one of a kind son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, will you please accept him right now? Tomorrow is not promised. Please take advantage while your window of opportunity is open. Amen. Maybe you're saved already, but you don't have a church home. The doors of our church, Abyssinian Baptist Church, are open. Will you please come where the word of God is being preached and taught through our pastor? We're not a perfect church, but we're striving for perfection. Maybe you have you're saved, maybe you have a church home, but maybe you're in a backslidden condition. God loves you. God loves the backslider. He loves you. There's nothing you can do that can. God loves you.
I will bless thee, O Lord.
Let's just worship him. I will bless thee, O Lord. Let's revere him right now.
I will bless thee, O Lord,
with a heart of thanksgiving.
With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
Lord, we thank you, we worship you, we praise you right now, God. We give everything over to you, God. We will bless you, God, because you've been so good to us. Lord God, we thank you for this word that went forth. Lord God, we're overcomers, and we should all have a testimony. Lord God, we ask that you will continue to keep us, guide and protect us, God. Allow us to get home safely today, God. Give us some rest. God, replenish with all that we've given out. Lord God, we love you today. Bless our pastor and first ladies there on the way back. God, continue to keep them, guide them once again. Give them traveling mercies right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we'll be ever so careful to give you back all the praise, and you all the honor, and you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray with thanksgiving. And all God's people say amen. 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 We are dismissed.